Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Lexi Podcast, and thank you for tuning in. If you are chronically online, let's talk. And if you're not, listen up. I think this could be very, very, very insightful and interesting to you. I am coming from the perspective of someone that has grown up with the internet, but has also created content on the internet for over 15 years. I started on YouTube where I was making videos on my MacBook, photo booth, YouTube tutorials, how to wear your eyeshadow, this is my outfit of the day, very innocent, low lift, share my life stuff. I would go to school and I would vlog with friends in the library after school. Here's me getting ready for hockey practice. Here's me at my swim meet. Oh, we're going to a track race. It was all conceptual based on what I was doing in my life. The algorithms had not taken form yet in the way that we know them today. YouTube was my main platform, and YouTube has always been very hands-off. They have been very mysterious, hard to reach. It's changed slightly over the last decade, but at the very beginning, it felt like a nightmare to have something happen to your channel because you didn't know who to reach out to. It felt like for you to get in contact with YouTube, you had to go over the river and through the woods to find someone to help you. Meanwhile, 2021, I was already having meetings with TikTok about how the platform works, giving me a point of contact. If you ever have any questions, here's who you can email. I'm not a big TikToker. I think I have maybe 20,000 followers on TikTok. Meanwhile, I have 500,000, 400,000 on YouTube, something like that. No, I've never had any attention from YouTube. And all of my concepts for creation were either coming from my own brain or from my friends, a little bit of what I was seeing, but it was very taking what I knew from life and then bringing it online. Now, enter the chat. Things have changed so much. There's a new feature on YouTube that I find particularly disturbing, and maybe that's just based on what I've seen due to the content I make. Maybe if I made more topical content, and I'll give context to this in a second, but just hear me out. If I made finance content, if I made, I don't know, like much more teachable educational content, I could see this being very helpful. For someone that makes content based on their life, this feels disturbing. So YouTube has rolled out this new feature called Inspiration, where you can explore and brainstorm video ideas. Basically, they will give you topics to talk about and then rank them based on how much interest there is within your niche, within your audience, within their platform. So for some reason, it's telling me to make a video about manifesting. Love manifesting. Manifesting's great, but they're giving me ideas, title ideas, thumbnail ideas, and even an outline for the video. For example, one of the ideas they have for me is called My Law of Attraction Skin Journey. Mind you, that's not my journey. I've never used the Law of Attraction or any sort of manifestation to make my skin look any sort of way, to my conscious knowing. That's ironic because it's all based in your subconscious. I digress. But let me click it. We're going to use this as an example. So the title they give four ideas. We could do The Law of Attraction Changed My Skin, parentheses, and my life. Second idea, Manifesting Perfect Skin, My Law of Attraction Journey. How I Use the Law of Attraction to Get Glowing Skin. And the last idea is My Skin Transformation, Law of Attraction Confessions. Then for thumbnail ideas, they have very ethereal, like hand holding the moon. There's a lotus flower that has nothing to do with my content. And then we have an outline and it's broken down. We have 6 different pillars and 3 examples or smaller pieces of each pillar. So your journey begins. That's the first one. So I'm going to introduce the concept of the law of attraction, briefly share my struggles, and explain my decision to embark on the law of attraction journey to transform my skin. The second pillar is shifting my mindset. Share specific affirmations that you've used daily to cultivate your self-love and positive thoughts about your skin. Describe how you started your visualization for yourself. Highlight the importance of releasing limiting beliefs. Third pillar is embracing daily rituals. So detail the skincare routine, share your favorite products, emphasize how these rituals became a form of self-care. Fourth pillar is illustrate the visible changes that you've observed in your skin, share before and after photos, and express your newfound confidence and sense of self-acceptance. And the final pillar is the law of attraction and you. Encourage your viewers to apply the law of attraction to their own skincare journey. Share practical tips on incorporating affirmations, visualization, and self-love practices, and leave your viewers with a message of hope to inspire them to believe in their own ability to achieve their desired skin. Where is my brain in this video? All I would do is be the robot in the machine dancing and singing to say, this is my skin journey. It takes the person completely out of the equation. And that is what I found to be disturbing. I'm like, wow, this is so fabulous hypothetically. But in this example, it gives me the creeps. Taking off my jacket, I'm hot from this. Getting worked up. I am not above AI. I am not above technology. I think it's helpful, you know? My friend and I were discussing this earlier today, to use ChatGPT for admin work. Hey, I'm looking to create XYZ. This is sort of where my week looks. Like, could you create a schedule for me? Or, hey, I'm shooting a music video, blah, blah, blah. Here are all the details. Can you create a call sheet? That feels harmless. It's admin work. To use a machine to tell me this is what people want and you're spoon feeding me the content to make for them, I'm not doing anything. Suddenly, I am nothing but a vessel. And if you want to get philosophical, aren't we all nothing but a vessel? But it takes the soul out of it. It takes the soul out of it. And you could argue, because I'm really trying to think this through, that my story would be the soul. These are just providing an outline, but this wasn't my idea. Let's just type in vlog and see what it says. Okay, so it gives more personalized examples. Ooh, okay, if you guys remember my episode of the podcast, I also have it as a video episode on my YouTube channel, and it's called The Lexi Lombard Summer. So there's high interest in making a how to make your summer more quote-unquote Lexi Lombard. That's interesting. Another example they give me with medium interest, road trip vlog with Camille behind the scenes. Even though I already did a road trip vlog with Camille, and I don't even know what would be behind the scenes because a vlog kind of is behind the scenes, at least on my channel. Low interest, 24-hour challenge, recreate cool girl Pinterest fits. There's a lot of interest in skin. It also wants me to tell my skin journey a year after the disaster. What is the disaster? Okay, I'm going to click on the how to make your summer more quote-unquote Lexi Lombard. Title idea, summer makeover, how to be more Lexi Lombard. I hate seeing my name like that. Lexi Lombard summer, my ultimate guide to fun. My summer transformation, becoming Lexi Lombard, living my best summer, Lexi Lombard vibes. Okay, this feels like it was made by a computer. Let's see the outline. Welcome to the Lexi Lombard summer. Let's dive into what makes Lexi summer unique. I'll be sharing, okay, it's making, I think it doesn't think that I'm Lexi. All right, so there's some flaws to this, but discuss my favorite activities, discuss my style guide, discuss DIY projects, summer mindset, and then the call to action is to share your favorite summer activities and tag your summer adventures below. Hashtag Lexi Lombard Summer. I would die if I started clicking on hashtags Lexi Lombard Summer and y'all were just living your life. Guys, I was living my life over the weekend. I woke up last Saturday really early because my family's on the East Coast, and so they called me at like 9 in the morning, so it's 6 for me. So I've been up, and at that point, the sun's already up. I'm awake. I'm bored. I have nothing on the docket, and it seemed like it was going to be a very easy day in Los Angeles. So I was going to go to the Flea and then maybe get brunch or lunch and then, I don't know, do laundry. I realize it is coming to the end of winter. I have not gone skiing. I need to go skiing. It's 9 in the morning. Let me drive to Big Bear, which is the closest mountain I know of to go skiing in Los Angeles or skiing outside of Los Angeles. So instead of waiting around for any friends because I didn't have that kind of patience, I put on my snowsuit, grabbed my helmet, goggles, hopped in the car, drove to a rental spot, got some skis, got my lift ticket, and I spent maybe like four and a half hours skiing. Drove back that night. Best decision ever. It was so much fun. I had such a good time and I was in the adventure mindset. So my roommate really loves tennis and she's like, should we just go to Indian Wells, which is kind of, it's a tournament, it's much smaller than the US Open, and tickets are like $50, whereas to go to the US Open sometimes you're spending hundreds of dollars, if not more, and you get to see all the same players. It's not as high stakes of a game, but for someone like me who's just down for fun, I don't need to see the best of the best game. If I get to see Coco Gauff, I'm a happy camper. So we decided to drive to Palm Springs. We stayed the night at the Ace Hotel, and then we watched tennis the whole day, which, side note, they have a Nobu in the stadium, which, for those that don't know, is an upscale sushi restaurant. And it's incredible. You can watch the game while eating Yellowtail. It was everything. It was luxury and more. And it was so much fun. But Hashtag Lexi Lombard summer, hashtag Lexi Lombard spring. All right. So maybe my second example is not as strong, but when it came to reading the manifestation skin journey that it provided me with, it felt like, what's the point of me creating content if you're just going to spoon feed it for me? And then I'm thinking on the opposite end, for people that don't create content, you're being spoon fed too. You're being told what to wear, what to buy, what to eat, where to go. Think of your algorithm. Yes, there's so much we learn. There's so much we get to know. But original thoughts, whether you believe in them or not, so maybe you don't believe in original thoughts, but lesser known, more niche thoughts, for sake of conversation, original thoughts aren't SEO friendly. You know what's SEO friendly? Trends, groupthink. And for those that don't know, SEO stands for search engine optimization. So it's just to improve the quality and quantity of website traffic to a website. So using more searchable terms. It's hard. It's a tricky spot to be in. I find it to be frustrating that algorithms reward content that fits a mold. So if you have original ideas, fresh ideas, they're not as searchable. So if the algorithm isn't pushing it, then you're not seeing it. You don't even realize what you're missing out on. If you're not using your own individual brain, your critical thinking skills, you're allowing yourself to be spoon-fed your own thoughts. And are these creators, myself included, truly even influencing culture, or are we just responding to data? Are we just fitting into what content will be rewarded? Because the more common content you make, you're appealing to the masses, and then it's being seen by more people. And the more people that see it, you'll either get higher ad revenue or better sponsorships for it because there are more eyes on it, and eyes are dollars. Is there a trap? The searchability trap. It's hard. It's hard. And there's going to be a balance. I'm not going to leave you hanging, feeling in despair over this. We're going to work through it. It just was frustrating. And the inspiration feature on YouTube really ticked me off. Ticked off feels like a way to, like, I'm not angry. I'm more disturbed. It also feels a little sad. I'm like, don't kill the originality. But there's a trap. There's a searchability trap. So who is actually calling the shots? The shift from organic creativity to algorithmic creativity. Are we shaping trends, or are trends shaping us? I love that people on TikTok are discussing, you can tell someone's screen time by their outfit. I love that because it kind of calls you out on your bullshit. You're like, ah, that outfit, she's online. She is online. She scrolls. You can tell. Whereas people that aren't online, you can tell from their outfit. Their outfit screams functionality. Their outfit screams utility. Their outfit screams, I'm wearing this because I'm at my work. I'm wearing this because I'm outside. I'm wearing this because I'm at a workout class. I'm wearing this because this fits the activity that I'm doing. Not, I'm wearing this because I saw 16 skinny pretty girls online wearing it. I'm guilty of this. It's sometimes hard for me to tell what my taste is or what I've been conditioned to like. I have to break myself out of this sometimes. I even saw this with Book Talk, where I had seen, what's that book called? The Silent Patient. I had seen The Silent Patient. I had seen My Dark Vanessa. And I had seen A Certain Kind of Hunger. And no offense to these books that I'm throwing under the bus, but everyone on YouTube book community, I don't know what they call the YouTube book community, but that and then Book Talk had been recommending these books. And so I had been conditioned to think these are three of the best books that have ever been in existence. I need to read them. Three for three, hated them all. I was like, oh my God, these are horrible. These are either too predictable, they lack luster. It feels like a good book for someone that hardly ever reads. And I was disappointed three of three times. And so it was hard for me to tell, oh, is this, like, do people think this is what their taste is, or is this what they're being spoon-fed and conditioned to think? And this spoon-fed effect makes people think that they have agency over their interests, but do we? Do they? I have to include myself in this because I'm a part of this system. I'm someone that goes online. I'm someone that creates content and consumes content. I've seen marketing and sales tactics that, I think it's either the 7 rule or the 14 rule, that if you see something 7 times, you're more likely to buy it. Or by the 14th time you've seen something, you are more likely to buy it. I see this because I am shopping on TikTok Shop. I have those lip product stains, don't like them. They don't work. They don't last on my lips. I bought a pillow, sucks. Ready to get rid of it already. I've had it for maybe 2 weeks. I bought the messy stain eater, didn't work. It's all as seen on TV. There's been a couple diamonds in the rough, but now I'm wondering, did I buy it because I was interested in it or just because I was exposed to it so many times? Yeah, I mean, sales, marketing, it's a fine line. Am I being recommended something or am I just being sold something? So how are we gonna break free? How are you gonna tap back into your creativity? First step is awareness. I had fallen victim to this because, of course, I'm using these different softwares to figure out how can I grow my channel. I've been online for such a long time and I'm very comfortable, but maybe I'm getting too comfortable. How can I shake things up? How can I get the attention of others without changing my vibe too much? But maybe there's little tweaks to make. So then when I see things like the inspiration feature on YouTube, it seems hypothetically a helpful feature, but then when I went into it, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not tapping into my creativity. This no longer seems fun. Talk about making a video seem like a job. You're just following it like a checklist. My videos right now, I want to be out and about. My dog and my friend see a snake. I want to whip out the camera and record it. I don't know why that's the first example that came to me, but that's something that happened the other day. I want to be able to feel as if I'm expressing myself, not just creating content for consumption. There's an element of being online that has shifted from self-expression to marketing presentation. Like, we all just want to see how much we can sell. Is that what we're trying to say? Like, look at how many products I can sell. Look how much money I can make. And don't get me wrong, I love money. I love making money. I love having money. It's a great time, spending money, the whole shebang, but it's not really fun. And maybe it is for you. And maybe this is my own personal projection. I mean, this entire episode has to be relatively a personal projection. But do you feel this too? Am I completely alone in this? Am I the only one feeling this way? And maybe this is more on the creator side than it is the consumer side. Because for my consumption and what I'm seeing on my algorithms, those I built brick by brick. You know, when I'm on TikTok and I'm seeing funny stuff and I'm seeing randomly I'm on whale talk right now, seeing a lot of whale content, I know that's because that's what I'm interacting with. I'm less upset with what I'm seeing. I'm more upset with how I'm seeing other influencers create and how we're all sort of falling into this algorithmic searchability trap. And maybe you don't feel that way. And I'm curious as a consumer if you feel that way, where I don't really blame any of the creators. I think we're just a little confused and a little stuck because things have changed so rapidly. Who's shaping our taste? Like, am I making this because I'm trying to make a brand happy? Or am I making this because I'm trying to make you happy? Or am I making this because it makes me happy? And then, I mean, whew, golden ticket hat trick when all three boxes can be checked. That would be the goal, right? All right, next for the positivity. How do we break free from the algorithm? As a creator, number one, start creating from intuition, not data. What am I actually interested in, regardless of if it's trending? I've never fallen victim in a serious way to this. I'm having a memory flood back of me being in a meeting at my YouTube network's office and they were showing me how to look up Google Trends. And they're like, just search through these and then pick topics based off of those. And I always left those meetings because I would hear things like this time and time again. And I would think, okay, cool, easy enough. Never did it. I couldn't be fucked to do that. And that's not because I'm better. It's just like, I wouldn't have the drive to do that. I've never felt fulfilled in that. And I don't want to seem holier than thou, like, oh, I'm so original, because I'm not. I just have never been able to work that way. So I think just reminding myself, remember to make content that you're interested in and consume content that you're interested in, regardless of whether or not it's trending. And then also, what's the content that I would want to see? Make that. Make the content that I'm interested in. And maybe it exists and making it or searching for it would help me find it. Or it doesn't exist yet, and provide that for people. Next thing, slow your roll on the internet. I oftentimes, when feeling really burnt out, think, okay, the only way I'm going to come up with ideas is if I just start listening to other podcasts and watching more YouTube videos and watching more TikToks. And it's like, oftentimes that's what's burning you out. You're getting overwhelmed by thinking, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. Stop having your head on a swivel. And by your head, I mean my head, and look inward. The answers are always inward. When you're looking around to be like, what should I do? What should I do? That's when you need to look inside every single time, every single time. So when I'm burnt out thinking it's because I don't know what to do, so I just need to look online to see what to do. Get offline, go to the bookstore, go take a weekend in nature, go take yourself skiing for the afternoon, go on a road trip with your friend, book a cheap flight somewhere. I'm obsessed with this girl that I just found online that her whole thing is that she just starts buying these random cheap flights and takes herself places. So she's like, never heard of this country before. I'm the only person here. I'm the only black person I've seen in like 40 hours. And it's so entertaining to see someone who's just actually living their life. I think a lot of us are creating, as I said, for the internet, as opposed to living our life and sharing it. It's like we're presenting ourselves for the internet as an audience instead of bringing the audience along for the ride. And it's just different kinds of content. I think this is relevant to me because I make content about my life. My friend was sharing with me recently how scared he gets to post online. He's like, the perception is crazy. Like, I will go on a trip or I'll do something fun and I'll post a dump. And then once it goes up, I'm like, all right, y'all aren't gonna see me for another 3 months. I was like, you know what I think is happening? I could tell that my friend was not having fun posting online because he was doing it to be perceived a certain way. So anytime in my life, we'll use Instagram as the example, I decide to post certain photos because I think it's going to be perceived a certain way, I am so much less happy than I am when I post something that I want. I remember when I had first gotten to LA and I just wanted to like grow on Instagram and have a really aesthetic looking feed, and I would face tune my photos and not just my body, even the fucking dust off the table to make the photo perfect. And when I would edit it to be perfect and it wouldn't, I don't know, get all the likes that I wanted it to get, it was so much more disappointing than if I post something that I like and I think looks cool. Then I care less about what people think because I like it. I get the most disappointed when I post something for people. I post it to have the guy think I look hot, to have the girl think I look cool, to have the family think I look impressive, whatever it is. And then it's not perceived that way. It's such a letdown. The letdown is significantly worse than when I'm like, okay, this weird log and this kind of funny photo of me, I really like, so I'm going to post it. And then if it's not received, I'm like, well, it was kind of a risk to say, to post this, because it's a strange piece of content. So I wasn't expecting it to be liked by everyone. You know, the photos that are going to get liked by everyone are these overwhelmingly agreed upon milestones, like your graduation photo, your marriage, your birthday, you getting a pet, you celebrating something. That's because everyone's doing that. Whereas a strange photo of a log, it's like, of course that's going to be a niche group that likes it. But because I fuck with it, even if it gets way less likes, I don't care because I'm posting it for me. So I think a good reminder is post what you think is cool, not what you hope other people think is cool. And for my fellow content creators, remember that your audience follows you for a reason, because they love you. I don't think that most people are getting followed because they have the best product recommendations. I think they're following you because they like you for you. They like your personality. And that's always a good reminder. I hope that was interesting. I have some more time. So what I'm going to do is get into your questions that I ask on Instagram every week. They're sometimes random, so they're not going to be necessarily applicable to what we just discussed, because I didn't ask them to be. I honestly didn't know what I was going to be talking about because I just saw Mickey 17. Talk about an original movie. I couldn't have predicted what was going to happen in that movie. I loved it. It was so much fun. But I was like, do I talk about Indian Wells? Do I talk about my solo skiing trip? Do I talk about my birthday that's coming up? Do I discuss Mickey 17? And honestly, the thing that was poking at me the most is this weird inspiration feature on YouTube. I was like, this is helpful to a point that it's harmful, was my reaction to it. So I wanted to discuss it. So now that I've done that, let's get into your questions. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Listen up. Financial freedom is the only freedom. But here's the thing. Investing is overwhelming to a lot of people, especially with all the fancy jargon that these finance bros are using, trying to overcomplicate the system when I promise you it is really not that difficult. If you are a newbie, let me recommend Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start investing and saving in your future today. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich already. You can be wanting to be rich, but you can start with just the spare change that you have. I promise you, investing $10 is better than investing $0. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Lexi or download the Acorns app to get started.
Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lexi.
Everyone and their mother has heard of Wegovy and Ozempic. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, which is the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for 80% less. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. The four reasons I like Effecty are 1, upfront pricing. They're transparent, it's fair, and there's no hidden fees, unlike a lot of the companies out there. And there's no membership required, and you can cancel at any time. 2, hands-on support. So you get a dedicated customer service team and unlimited access to licensed doctors, whether figuring out dosage or helping you stay on track, they are there to guide you. 3, accessibility. No matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments, so the entire process is online and remote. And 4, science-backed treatments. The GLP-1 medications are backed by clinical studies showing significant weight loss results. They focus on sustainable weight management, not just helping you lose weight, but keeping it off with science-backed solutions. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code Lexi at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com. And use the code Lexi to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. Your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors that you don't even know. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they're all messing with our hormones. And then on top of it, there's the natural hormonal change that our bodies go through, premenopause, menopause, our monthly cycle. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't also suffer through it. The good news is there are people that care, and we don't need to suffer through it anymore because we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Symptoms like PMS irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings. Menopause symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com. And use the code Lexi for 15% off today. First things first, let's talk about more content. Augustina asks, is it just me or is White Lotus so slow this season? I haven't locked into it yet. I'm one episode behind. I didn't watch Sundays. Need to watch. They changed the theme song. Makes me sad. Not too sad. Still going to watch it anyway. But I haven't sunk my teeth in the way that I did the previous season. Season 1 is still my favorite. It was impeccable. It was flawless. Season 3 I'm watching because season 1 was flawless. So I'm with you. Feels a little slow. Not sure if it's the lack of interest in the characters. I like the setting. I mean, it has the same premise as before where you're supposed to hate the guests, like the staff. Everyone's kind of having a nightmare time in paradise. But I don't know why this one isn't doing it for me. Mel wants to know, what tattoos do you have? I have a few. The first one I ever got, talk about free will. I was on a run, decided to run from the East Village to the West Village. There's this famous tattoo artist that I ran by his shop and then I wanted to see if he could tattoo sexy in my inner lip. And that was tattoo number one. Tattoo number two was my grandpa's email password because I wanted something to remind me of my grandpa. He was my best friend. I don't know if it's ever been obvious to any of you, but there's definitely some grandpa energy that I have, like for sure, where I can't think of it now. It comes out in certain ways. My friends have called me out for it. You know how some friends, it's like, oh, they're the mom. I also sometimes feel like I'm the dad of the friend group, like hypothetically responsible, but also not taking any of the responsibilities. Like, oh, I could if I had to, but I'm just here for fun. You know, I feel like I can be the dad of the friend group, but I also feel like there's some grandpa in there. There's some grandparent. I also have my grandmas in me as well, but like no shame. I want to make sure all my grandparents up there, Papa Lola, Grandpa Grandma, I love you all equally, but Grandpa Bruce was definitely my bestie. That was my man. So I have his email password tattooed on my wrist. And then I have my mom's car, the childhood car that I rode around in, on my other wrist. And then I have an X on my arm because I'm an only child and I feel like my parents would really spoil me and really feed into my imagination. And at some point they had told me that they created the letter X for me and I was the only person in the world who had an X in my name. I guess I hadn't met an Alex yet because I was young enough to really think, yep, just me. I'm the only one with this letter in my name. So I got that tattooed on me. So I have what, four? I feel like I might have another one. No, I think just four. Oh, Spoon, you brought a little toy, but it's a squeaky toy. If it starts squeaking, can you guys hear that? I don't want to take it away from you. Go find it. I threw it, but I think it landed on the kitchen counter, so I don't know if he's going to be able to get that. Even though, side note, I found him on the kitchen counter today. Oh, you brought it back. Good, you got your cookie. You got your cookie. Yeah, found him on the kitchen counter today. Thank God there was no food or anything on it. I was like, King, what are you doing up there? What the heck are you doing? Get down. He looks so guilty. I love. Oh, damn. Swin, I really don't want to take this away from you. If only Mama's job wasn't audio related. Can you handle it? Let me see. Maybe I'll put it on my lap. Good boy. You're such a good boy. You want to sit on Mama's lap? Okay, moving on. Lynn wants to know my favorite place I've ever traveled. Okay, in the United States, I love the Pacific Northwest. Washington and Oregon and Northern California were so beautiful. Hawaii is also so beautiful. I'm biased, but I love Virginia. I love the plains. I love Middleburg. It's one of my favorite places in the whole world. Obviously, New York City. Lived there for quite some time. Where else? Those are probably my faves for America. I haven't been to Montana or Wyoming or Idaho yet. And I think geographically, those are stunning. So add that to the list of potential places to travel, but I can't say that they're my favorite places because I haven't been yet. Internationally, I love Paris. I love Madrid. I love Santander, which is also in Spain. And I love Thailand. I'm about to go to Australia and New Zealand for the first time, and I'm really curious of that. But fave place I've ever traveled, I would say, is either, I mean, the Oregon coast was unlike anything. So I would say maybe Paris, Madrid, or the Pacific Northwest. Caitlin also wants to know my last meal if I was on death row. It would be so involved. Like, buckle up. I don't think you're even ready because we are pulling from the family recipe. We are pulling from local ice cream shop back in Warrenton, Virginia. We are pulling from French restaurant to get steak with peppercorn. We're gonna have the perfect shoestring fries. Yeah, it's going to be a lot, okay? I'm going to be a spoiled brat on death row with my last meal. Freckle Storms, love that username. I'm in my early 20s and I've realized that I've really got to depend on myself. Any advice? Becoming your biggest support is one of the best things you can do for yourself. No one has my back the way that I have my back. No one's got Lexi's back the way that Lexi's got her back. I support myself through and through, and I'm always trying my best to make sure that I am healthy and happy and working towards making all of my dreams come true. So doing that, I think the best places to start are, one, when you have interest to pursue them. If you realize reading is really something I'm interested in, then to make an effort, like, all right, set the 20-minute timer. Let me read for the next 20 minutes, because you'll make yourself proud. Same thing if you know that skiing is an interest of yours and you're like, all right, I have the day, I have the time, I have the money. Let me drive myself to the mountain. Like, so what that my friends aren't around? I don't have the patience to wait for them. I'm running out of time for the season. Let me take myself. Like, that was a way that I've realized I can depend on myself. No one needed to be there for me to have a good time. No one needed to be there for me to feel safe. And start with that. And if you have more questions, you can always send a follow-up next week when I ask. Caitlin also asked, I guess we're just going Caitlin for these three. What are the qualities you value most for a partner? I mean, ultimately, I want to feel like we're both the lucky one. I want to feel so lucky that I get to do life with them, and they feel so lucky that they get to do life with me. And we both just look into each other's eyes, and there's nothing but love and trust and support. And why am I getting so giddy thinking about this concept? I think it's because it's the greatest thing that there is in this world, in this life. True love. I'm looking for someone who I see that sees me, and we love each other and we want to go after life and devour it whole. Hope Hackett asked, when do you feel most productive? When I make a to-do list before bed. It's simple. We don't need to overcomplicate it. When I actually put pen to paper, these are the things I need to do tomorrow. It makes the day fly by and the productivity just soars. They're like little birds that wake me up in the morning and they just start flying, and it almost is like they do the work for me. And it's amazing how much I can get done when I just have the list in front of me. Even if it's, for example, I'll make a list, like a professional list or a work list, and then I'll do, like, if there's any pickups, errands, returns I need to get, like if certain grocery, I had to get a leash, I had to pick up my medicine. And then personal things, writing down if I have to get dinner with someone. I've been making an Australia list, like I needed to get my international plan. Find a dog sitter, etc. Yeah, did that Sunday night, started this week off with a bang. I've been continuing it ever since. Every time I stop making the to-do list, I'm like, oh, it's because I don't really need to. It's all in the noggin. I can remember. No, I can't. And even if I can, I don't do it nearly as efficiently. So it's simple, but it works. The to-do list is how I feel the most productive. Specifically, I should say, is making it at night. That way I just have to look at it first thing in the morning. My brain's not fully on first thing in the morning. So I would have to use brain power to figure out what I need to do. Whereas I, for whatever reason, my biological clock allows me to have max amount of brain power right before I go to bed. I'm going full speed. So I use that to make my to-do list for the next day. And then I wake up, don't even have to think about it, can just start doing my thing. Hope also asked, how is Spoon Ben getting along with other dogs and people? He loves people and he loves dogs. It was so sweet. My friend Lily, we went on a walk with her and one of her dogs today. Spoon fell so deeply in love, he actually started crying when they left. Like that's the most drama I've seen from him. I was like, Jesus Christ, you're going to see her in 2 days. She's coming over to the house for the birthday. The birthday of the year. Hashtag Lexi Lombard birthday. Literally just got a man to come onto the deck and he's gonna make tacos and friends are just gonna like stop by and hang, and then my friend and I are going to a concert or like a little music festival over the weekend. So it's gonna be fun. Low-key, easy, casual, but you know, the birthday. But Spoon's like crying. I'm like, Lily, he loves you so much. He doesn't want to leave you or Benjamin. So he's good. Also, his name is Spoon because he cuddles. It's not just with me, it's with dogs too. My friends and I were staying in a hotel during the LA fires. Oh my God, Spoon is spooning my bestie's dog under the covers. He's such a little lover boy. Linda, switching gears completely from lover boy to hoe. Linda asks, what are your thoughts on hoe phases? Mine's less based in phase and more based in person. Like based on the person. There are some people that... that like bring out the hoe in me. And some people that don't, I'm such a little conservative prude lady. It's so strange and I can't pinpoint why, because I'm thinking about how I behave around anyone I've ever had romantic interest in. And the behavior has quite the range. has quite the range from overly talkative brat to like really, really shy. I think ho phases work for people that are perpetually in relationships. I think for the people that hop from girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend or boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend and they're single for 6 months, their ho phase is perfect for them because they know they're about to be back in their monogamy soon enough. For people that like their single life, it more, in my experience, because I love being single, so the idea of being in a relationship, it really has to be the one for me. There's like a little bit of a catch-22 to being single, because the longer you're single, the better you get at finding your own routine, which makes it harder to let someone in to said routine, because you're like, oh, but I have this well-oiled machine. Don't come in and fuck it up. Whereas people that are so used to having a companion around, when the companion is gone, they feel an emptiness and they need to fill it. But when there's no emptiness, someone needs to add value to it. It needs to be a bonus. It needs to be an excitement. There needs to be support. There needs to be an attraction to them being a part of your life. So this is all to say that I think ho phases become more based on the person when you're single. Like, there are certain guys that I meet and they make me wanna, like, I just think about sex when I'm with them. And then there's other guys and I'm like, oh my God, I just wanna be this dainty little romantic fairy, and why am I nervous to even hold your hand? So it really just depends on the person that brings out the different sides of you, as opposed to a phase of like, all right, this is my crazy summer, you know? That's been my experience. Nina asked for my favorite area in LA. I love Silver Lake, Los Feliz, Echo Park. I love it. I love it. I have so much fun here. Ooh. I actually hate that I can answer this question from personal experience. Someone said how to leave a 10-year relationship, but he's my BFF, but also an alcoholic. I fear I just have to stay because the thought of not having him as my best friend kills me. But I'm also not sexually attracted to him anymore. I love him as family. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, have the magnet from that experience. You know, I have been in your shoes. I was in almost a 6 or 7 year relationship with someone that I adored, and they were my best friend in the whole world, but alcoholic. And you root for them, right? Like, you know that they're suffering and you know that they're their own worst enemy, but you're rooting for them and you don't want to leave them when they're down because you want to show that you're loyal and you want to say, I'm going to be with you through this. Like, we'll see this through and I'll be there at the other side when you heal and when you're happy and you can find solace. But then time goes on and you realize it's at your own expense. And I'm sure you're young. Like, I was doing this as a teen and early 20 something, and I had to have a real honest chat with myself, and it came from taking a trip alone. I had been spending so much time with him and I went off to New York City and I spent maybe a week or two there. And I'd never felt so free. And I felt really guilty. I felt guilty in hindsight, but I wasn't really speaking with him while I was on this trip. I just needed a true break from him. Not to be with anyone else, but just to not be with him for a second. And that wasn't planned or anything. We hadn't talked about it. Like, oh, we're going to go on a break when I take my little quick trip to New York. But that's what it ended up being in my head. And when I came back, I was like, I want to move to New York. And he's like, and you don't want me to come, was the gist of what ended up happening. And as hard as that was, it was ultimately one of the best decisions I ever made for myself, because I would have just worn myself down and bent over backwards to stay with him and to have him as my best friend and to make that relationship work, when ultimately the best thing that I could do for myself and the best thing I could do for him was to take myself away from that equation. And the love will always be there. You can feel, I have so much empathy for you because I was there. And it's so tricky. But then I look at even photos of myself from that time and I just look so emotionally and spiritually worn down. I didn't even realize the toll that that relationship was taking on me. And I'm so glad that I left. Even though I loved him and I will always have love in my heart for him, I should not have stayed. And I am so glad that I didn't. And I know it's not easy, but it is the best thing that I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done for myself. Next, Erica says, tell us a little bit more about your beliefs around spirituality. I believe there is so much creation and imagination and possibility that we have yet to even tap into. We are capable of so much more as individuals and as a species and as a planet and as a galaxy than we even can comprehend. There is so much more than our little plebeian brain can understand. And that is one of my major beliefs. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in signs. I believe in winks from the universe. I definitely believe in prayer, manifestation, whatever you like to call it, when there's a desire that you have and you set that intention. I do think the universe, God, whatever you believe in, because to me, they're all interchangeable. God, the universe, Mother Nature, one and the same. When you have a desire set, they give you a little sprinkle. I got a birthday sign from my grandma. So it's the first sign I've gotten from Lola since she passed. I was driving on the road. My birthday's in March. It was the 1st of March. And the license plate in front of me when I was getting off the highway said 29 exclamation point, love Lola. And I turned 29. It was so beautiful. And I remember my first birthday without my mom after she passed. I was watching TV at midnight. It was midnight. In my hotel room, I was on a trip with a couple friends, and the subtitle on the show changed to I Love You. And it didn't leave for the whole minute. There was a truck commercial, a Chipotle commercial, Sex and the City was on, and it said, I love you. And I believe in those things. I love watching near-death experience videos. I love learning about the afterlife. I love, what's the Hollywood medium's name? Tyler something. Oh, I hate that I don't remember his name right now, but he's fantastic. If watching him doesn't make you a believer, I don't know what will. Try Laura Lynn Jackson. She wrote the book Signs. It's one of my favorite books. I mean, read Proof of Heaven. I don't know if I believe in heaven. I believe in something a lot larger than that because I don't really think I believe in hell either. Funny though, I used to live with a pretty devout Christian and I would joke saying, I would do something and be like, I'm going to hell. And she's like, I know. And it was funny because she wasn't kidding. But those are some of my beliefs around spirituality. Anna wants to know, what song or songs do you have on repeat right now? Been listening to In the Zone by Britney Spears a lot lately, that album. And there's this really bubblegum pop song called Brave New Girl. Listening to that a lot. Been listening to a lot of Jungle. It's so good when you're driving. I went back and I've been listening to Lady Gaga's first album, the one with the ice and the sunglasses. I've been listening to The Fame and I Like It Rough. A lot of pop, actually. And Boys, Boys, Boys. I've really been driving around to pop music recently. Katya wants to know my favorite kind of tea. Besides the hot goss, maybe peppermint. Earl Grey with some almond milk and cinnamon. Green tea and hibiscus if it's iced. Roxy wants to know best tips for saving money. To not spend money when you're alone if you can avoid it. Like to keep money to be a social thing, an adventure thing. So if my friend wants to go out for coffee, yeah, I'll get a coffee. But if I'm just at my house, I'll make coffee at the house. If a friend wants to grab lunch, if it's someone's birthday and they want to get dinner, yeah, like I'll get dinner. But if I'm just by myself, let me just use this excuse as a time to cook, time to just see what I have in my fridge and make myself a little food. Eat the food you have, read the books you have, explore the neighborhood by foot, drive instead of Uber, drink at home before you go out. That way you only have to get like one drink while you're out instead of starting the night sober. And then you're like, all right, I just bought four drinks tonight instead of one or whatever it is. Those are easy little tips. Farah wants to know, what do you do if you're in a rut with the meals you make? I just came out of one of those. It was the worst. It was so not fun. And I don't know what stopped that. I've been really excited to cook food and make my own variations of things. So I was buying gatto dates from the farmer's market, which I want to support gatto. I love them. And for those that don't know, gatto dates are nut butter stuffed dates dipped in chocolate with a little sea salt. I think some of them have walnuts inside. Some of them have pistachios on top, whatever. And you put them in the freezer. I was spending $20, $30 on them. And I could definitely make them at home. And at that point, I was eating them so much. So it was like, I should just make my own. And I did. And that was really fun. Also, I find that dates with nut butter and chocolate are actually better heated than frozen. It's actually a more decadent treat to just put it in the microwave for 5 or 10 seconds, maybe 15. I don't know how your microwave works. But to split the date in half, take the seed out, put a little bit of peanut butter in, almond butter, whatever, and then a couple chocolate chips. Heat that up. Oh, so good. Another thing is I've been loving yogurt bowls, and I love getting all these different toppings. It's really fun to me to just put the yogurt in the bowl and then say, do I want pumpkin seeds? What about some bee pollen? What about some puffed millet or coconut granola or whatever? So I got really excited for that. And then I thought, wait a second, what if I just take all these ingredients and I make granola, because my friend had just made his own granola, and I'm like, how fun is that? So then it got me really excited to eat breakfast in the morning because I got to eat my homemade granola. I think to get out of a meal rut, there's actually many different strategies because the ruts come from different reasons. Sometimes you're in a rut because you're sick of what your current routine is. Sometimes you're in a rut because you're kind of lazy and you're looking at all these ingredients and you're like, I can't be fucked to like defrost a chicken. And if you're in that vibe, give yourself a break. If you need to buy the pre-sliced, pre-seasoned chicken, so be it. If you want to just make it convenient for yourself, you don't want to be using all the different toppings. Let's say you're like, I need a vegetable, but I can't be bothered to slice a carrot and a cucumber and arugula and make myself my own chopped salad. Get the salad in the bag at the grocery store. Who cares? Sometimes I need to have a week or two where I'm eating more ready-made things, you know? And other times I'm really inspired to make my own homemade chocolate chip cookies and my own dates and my own granola. And that's really exciting to me. So switch it up in whatever is going to be fun for you. And then another thing I like to do is go on the New York Times or on Bon Appetit and search for one sheet recipes or like one pot recipes that are full of flavor but don't require much cleaning, because sometimes that's a deterrent. So I'd give that a shot. Another thing I really want to talk about on the pod is Australia and New Zealand and how that's all coming together. So what I'm going to do is end the public episode here, and then I will link the rest of the extended episode for the Patreon in the show notes. So for those that don't know, every week an extended ad-free version of the episode goes up on Patreon. So if you're curious to hear more about my personal life and, in this case, things that went on this week plus planning for Australia and what's going on, keep on listening. But if not, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Would love to hear what you feel about, I don't know, what's really shaping our taste. So if you have any commentary, would love to hear it. You can always Instagram, DM me. I also am on YouTube posting vlogs, and it's been really fun. There's a video that's going up every Friday, and there's another one going up this Friday. So make sure to check it out on youtube.com/LexiLombard. Thank you so much. I love you all. Take care. XOXO, Lexi.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.